The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Freedom's Disciple on demand.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
If you listen to this show in its entirety, you will notice that there are certain themes that run through the show. I tend to avoid politics. I tend to focus very much on principles. I try and take the stories of the day and delve a bit deeper in them and give you questions to think about and to ponder on. I also try and not share my opinion as much as other people do. I try and deliver this content, whether I am successful or not, but I try my best to deliver it in a way that makes you, sort of provokes you and sort of gives you something to think about so that you find out where you stand on the issues, not, well, this is where John stands and this is where I'm going to stand. The other team is, we finish the show the same way each and every week. One of the last things you'll hear me say if you listen to the full show is, we salute our heroes, our police, our firefighters, emergency personnel, and your vets. We do that, have done that, since show one. And some people don't get that. The reason I salute them is simple. It's two reasons. One, I salute anyone who does something that I couldn't do. I salute them because their very job goes against, in many ways, what common sense and what human nature would do. Let's take police. If you hear a gunshot in a public place, common sense is to run away. Human nature says run and run quickly. Whether you know it or not, that's generally what you will do. Police are the opposite. They're generally the folks running towards the trouble. Same with the firefighters. Look at a burning building. Everyone's running out going, hell, get out of here. Firefighters are, I'm going to run into it. And then the building is on fire. And the off chance there might be someone in it, they're the ones running into the building to look and try and find that person and to try and save them. Everyone else is saying, get the hell out of the building, get to the local fire escape, and let's go, let's get out of here. Same with vets. They have to put up with so much. They go to places, hellholes, and I mean real hellholes around the world. You know, Afghanistan and places like Iraq are not exactly fun. And the fact that any matter, you could be just a vet sitting around or in the military sitting around and all of a sudden you get the call going, hey, you know what, you've been deployed to so-and-so. There is no easy jobs. And also they work at a moment's notice. They could be called up at any time. Police can be called up at any time. They're incredible men and women. And the great thing about it is truly as a unit, whether it's police, firefighters, emergency personnel, vets. You know, it's a blanket salute. It's not like, well, you know, I salute all the white police officers. And I salute all the white military men. And I salute all the under 30s, you know, the age. And I salute only the straight ones. And I only salute only the Christian ones. You know, where society is broken into different parts. And I only salute the Republican vets and the Republican firefighters. You know, those Democrat, liberal snowflakes, I don't salute you. The one thing I love about them is as society keeps fracturing into different, you know, different groups and different labels, police and firefighters are usually the same. They're brothers, and I love that. The second reason I spend so much time saluting them and defending them is because we live in a society where it's popular to demean them, especially the police and the vets. It's popular. Oh, police, they suck. I'm not going to say some of the other insults. If you've been around, you know some of the insults that people call cops. But as much as I admire them, as much as I salute them, it isn't a blanket open invitation to do anything you want. It isn't a, hey, we salute the cops in this show and they can do whatever they want. They have that badge, do whatever they want. Hey, oh, they hit them? Ah, well, you know what, the guy probably deserved it. Oh, they murdered someone? Oh, well, you know what, it's a cop, he can do what he wants. We'll still salute them. As much as we salute them, there is a limit. Same with the vets. Because we have principles on this show. You have principles. They may not always line up with me, but it isn't an open blanket thing where they can do whatever they want and they will always be saluted. I came across a story which I can't believe this isn't national news. I came across this story thanks to the Daily Wire, an amazing site. But it's not quote unquote mainstream. This isn't CNN or Fox. It's a great website though. This is a story that if you believe in police brutality, if you're Black Lives Matter, you should be all over this story. You know, in fact, if ever there was a time to, I don't know, escalate things because of police brutality in society, this story is this. Do you know who, I can never pronounce this guy's name, Philip Brailsford is? Philip Brailsford. Sorry, I'm pulling up the story. Is a former Mesa, Arizona police officer. That last week, he was acquitted of both murder and manslaughter. Did you hear about this story? Because I want to talk to you about this story. Because this is horrific. This is one of the worst stories I have ever heard. If you want to make a poster child of police brutality and just like throw everyone under the bus, this is the story you use, because not only is there a transcript, there is a video of it. And I would urge you, if you watch the video, if you're thinking about watching this video, proceed with caution, because it is very, very disturbing. So what are the facts of the case? What is the story behind it? Well, there's this guy called Daniel Shaver. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Well, Daniel wasn't acting very smart, shall we put it. And he was staying at a hotel and he got very drunk. And this is back in January 2016, so what, 22, 23 months ago. And apparently there was a report put into the police that someone was pointing a rifle out of a window. Again, not a very smart thing to do. But Daniel was, he was very drunk. You have to state that he was very, very drunk. He was highly intoxicated. And apparently, the rumor and the witnesses say he was messing around with a pellet gun. And he used this for his job. He was in pest control. Now, is this behavior type of good? If you're working in pest control and you have a pellet gun, you don't play around with it. Especially in today's world where, actually, sorry, I'm not even going to justify that by saying in today's world. In any type of world, if you truly believe in guns, you know you don't mess around with them. Even if it's just a pellet gun, because while you may know it's a pellet gun, there's a chance other people who haven't got knowledge of guns and they just see a gun, they're not going to know in a split second, oh, that's a pellet gun. That is no threat to me. I'm totally fine. Now, the guy's an idiot and acted like an idiot. He acted irresponsible. And especially as someone who does this in their job, you kind of just leave your work equipment, your gun, aside. But anyway, he was drunk, very drunk. Again, that has to be stressed. So when you get this call, imagine just thinking this, because I always try and, one of the things I think there's a big deficit is, we don't actually think as a police officer is. So what I would ask you to think of is, just think you're as you're a police officer. And you're just in your patrol car, or you're just driving around, or you're walking, whatever image you have as a policeman or a policewoman. And all of a sudden, that call on the radio comes. You got to go to this hotel. There's reports of a gun appearing out of a window. Now, bear in mind, this is before Las Vegas. It's January 2016. You're obviously going to be on edge, because you don't know what you're walking into. You don't know what situation you're going to walk in. You don't know who you're going to deal with. You don't know if it's a lone gunman. You don't know if it's multiple. You don't know even, it could be possibly terrorist. It could be domestic terrorist. You don't know the agenda. You don't know the equipment they have. Do they just have a rifle? Do they have, you know, multiple rifles? Do they have grenades? Do they have a machine gun? Is it automatic? Is it semi-automatic? Do they have guns? Do they have, you know, a bit of explosives? You don't know. So these are all the questions running through your mind. You don't know the motive. And you get that call and you're going. And of course, naturally, you know, you might think of any time you're walking into an environment, you may try and avoid it, but you're obviously going to start thinking about your family. Well, Jeannie, did I, is there anything I should have said to my wife? Or, you know, what happens if you had an argument this morning? You might have felt really bad, but you're walking into this situation and you're on edge. And you're just, you don't know what to do. And also, you're in a situation where there are civilians. You're kind of going, do they have hostages? These are all the questions, and probably a lot more because I'm not a law enforcement guy. There's a lot of questions that you're running through your mind right now, and you're kind of going, I don't know what I'm going to be facing. Anyway, long story short, they get into the hotel, and they come across Daniel Shaver. And he's stumbling. And they come across him when he stumbles out of his hotel room. And he's told to get on the ground. And he complies immediately. He gets down on the ground. And he attempts to follow instructions. And there are a lot of instructions. I'll give you some of the instructions that was yelled at him by the police officers. Lie on the ground. Put both hands on top of your head and interlace your fingers. Take your feet and cross your left foot over your right foot. Keep your feet crossed. Put both hands flat in front of you. By the way, how do you interlock your fingers and place your hands on the top of your head if you're then asked to put your hands flat in front of you? Kind of mixed signals there from the policeman. What do you, which one do you want me to do? Push yourself to a kneeling position. Put both hands in the air. Crawl towards me. Stop. Crawl. Keep your legs crossed. Put your hands in the air. Keep your legs crossed. Crawl. Basically what they asked them to do was crawl towards him. Now, first things first, again, this is coming from a long, non-law enforcement person, but from have been around them and having and talked to them and understand some procedure that they should have had. If you watch this video, one of the things you'll clearly see, if you watch and you see people who police engage with suspects, is they generally get them on the ground. They generally, you know, issue some instructions, you know, interlace your fingers, put your hands, whatever they feel comfortable with. But then eventually the police person will go to the suspect and, you know, maybe give them a pat down or, you know, put cuffs on them and then start that procedure. You don't see this. What they asked him to do was to crawl towards him. Now, what's happened here is basically, through all those instructions, crawling towards him, and obviously, again, you do have to stress this, he is drunk, he's highly intoxicated. It seems that his pants start to fall down. And he reaches, again, human nature. Put yourself, if as a man or a woman, if your pants start to fall down, you don't think about it. Your hand just goes, maybe one hand or two hands, your favorite hand, goes just to pull them up. It's human nature. It's human instinct. He reaches to pull them up, and the officer immediately shoots him several times. What you see in this is horrific. Again, only watch this video if you don't mind being highly disturbed or you're used to this, but I would, or you want to be informed, but it's not an easy video to watch. Now, of course, what was the defense? The defense was, well, he reached for his waistband and I didn't know. Again, from reading and from researching and from following police, again, there was ample time, if you watch this video, for the policeman to get him down on the ground, get him, interlace his fingers, get him totally, you know, non-compliant and not a threat, and then to engage him, go forward to him, pat him down and get him in cuffs. If you do that procedure, there isn't an issue. This person and this cop, there's no issue. This man is still alive. He acted like a jerk. But here's the question. Is acting like a jerk a death sentence now? But instead, he pulled from his waistband. Now, even if you buy that excuse, okay, you buy that excuse, well, you know, he followed all these instructions for a period of time. He followed every instruction to the best of his ability, I think. Again, you watch this video, you might have a different opinion to me. But you follow it and you kind of go, you see it, it's to the best of his ability. He is highly intoxicated. Okay? Now, let's take this into consideration. Let's just use that defense. He reached for his waistband. It could have been a gun. At what point in time, the guy is down, full flash, highly intoxicated. What are the risks of something happening that you don't at least see what comes? Now, I will full disclosure say, if you pull a gun on a policeman, it's I have no problem. If you're stupid enough to do that, it's a consequence. You don't pull a gun on anyone. But it's looking at, when you watch this video, you're like, oh my God, why did you do that? And it wasn't just one shot. What makes this even worse is a piece of evidence that wasn't shown to the jury. Two things. One, he was fired from his job several months ago. Now, why we don't know exactly why he fired him, it was under the category of unsatisfactory performance. But there was a piece of evidence. He had scrawled the phrase, "You're effed." "You're effed" on the dust cover of his service rifle. That's quite an attitude to have, don't you think? Why would a policeman inscribe that on the dust cover of your rifle? Is that the type of cop you want? Why is this story not in the mainstream media? Why is it not in the national media? Why is there not protests all over this? Why is there not, I don't know, hands up, don't shoot, phony narratives out there? But this actually would be a narrative. I had my hands up, don't shoot me. I complied, don't shoot me. Why is that not in the media? Well, you might have guessed it. One of the reasons was the victim was white. Now, we can play that card all day long if you want to. But what I would say is, if you want this story in the media, the people who should put this story in the media are those who defend cops all the time. That's why I'm discussing it. Because I'm appalled by this man's behavior. And I use man very, very lightly. Here's the thing. Here's the final point about this. I defend cops as a whole, all day, every day. They're some of the bravest men and women of different races, of different colors, of different backgrounds, of different religions I meet. I think they are heroes in society. They can change the world or people's world on a moment's notice. But when there are bad cops, they are just like bad people, bad politicians, bad media people, bad actors, bad workers, bad employers, bad religious people, bad Catholics, bad Christians, bad Protestants, bad Jews, bad atheists. There isn't a set of people on this world who are entirely all good all the time. And when they are bad, it is our duty and it is our responsibility to say, hey, guess what? I defend police 24/7. You know this guy? I don't defend him. And here's why. Because it goes against our moral compass and our principles. Now, we can have a discussion about this guy and say, you know what? This guy is a bad dude. And it shouldn't automatically be, oh, well, you know, you're just opening the floodgates to attack, you know, to have a war on cops again. No, I've been principled. There are no sacred cows. It is not a blanket ban or a blanket amnesty for any group in society. We must call out wrong when we see it. And as someone who proudly stands with the boys in blue and your other heroes in society, this guy is not someone I stand with. And I will never stand with. Bad cops are like bad people. They need to be called out. They are no different. Just because they have a badge does not make them immune from criticism. Because here's the truth. If you want to be on sides on this issue, if you always want to be pro-cop or you want to be anti-cop, I have no time for it. I'm sorry. I'm in neither camp. What I am is on principles. When people are right, I will support them. When people are wrong, I will speak out against them. Regardless of who you are. Regardless of what place you hold in society. And I hope, I can only hope, my fellow brothers and sisters who are conservatives, who are libertarians, will use this story and talk out about it. I know one has. I haven't been following politics too much. I know Matt Walsh has. And kudos to you, brother Matt. Well done. I know Matt Walsh wrote a great article. It's also on the Daily Wire. Check it out. It's a great article. But we all must speak out and share these stories and be the people who have credibility in society that says, when all other things are going wrong, I stood up to my own side. I didn't worry about the speck in your eye. I worried about the log in our eye, the people who I defend. This is wrong. And this result where he was acquitted is equally wrong. I don't know what evidence the judge and the jury saw, but this guy belongs behind bars. It was an execution. And how this guy walks free, I have no earthly idea. It is a grave miscarriage of justice. And I'm only sorry for the victim and his family that no one is there to stand with him. Even though he acted like a jerk and he was wrong, acting like a jerk is not a death sentence. And it sure as hell should not be a death sentence ever in the future. Thank you, and hope you enjoyed this short clip from last week's show. If you want more content based around America being an exceptional idea, eternal principles, and searching for self-evident truths, then please subscribe to my show called Freedom's Disciple, which is available for free on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher.
Freedom's Disciple with Jonathan Dunn on demand.
The Blaze Radio Network.